Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and what a tremendous blessing it has been, and what a blessing it is to be in church on this Sunday evening. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26. On Sunday nights, we've been actually going through and preaching on the teachings of Christ and exactly what Jesus presented himself while he was walking on the face of the earth. And in our regular study, we're going to be in the second year, but we're fast-forwarding to one of the last lessons that Jesus taught while he was here on the earth, and that has to do with communion, the Lord's Supper, which we are looking to observe here tonight. And it's a blessing to be able to have the Lord's Supper, and of course, with the COVID and everything else, we haven't had it in a while, and so just wanted to take this time to teach what Jesus Christ taught us concerning communion, the reason behind it, and all the truths that God has given to us about communion here tonight. And so Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to be starting to read in verse 17, we'll read down to verse 30. So if you're able to, if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, brake it, and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for your word that we have before us, that we can read and study and hear it preached and hear it taught and be able to understand all that you would have us to understand. I pray tonight, God, that you would meet with us once again and give us this understanding of the ordinance that you established for your church of the Lord's Supper. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. As the disciples thought that they were preparing to celebrate the Jewish Passover, Jesus, knowing this to be his last one on earth, was preparing to institute a New Testament ordinance for his church. Jesus established two ordinances for his church. His church has his doctrine. He is the head of the church. And he established his church to be able to remember his sacrifice. We do that with the Lord's Supper. He also gave his church the ordinance of baptism. And that is done only through the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ through his church. His church has his doctrine. This New Testament ordinance would be based upon Old Testament Passover. In chapter 26 here in verse 17 to 19, that's exactly what they thought they were going to observe, is the Passover. They had done it with Christ up until this point. If you look back with me to Exodus in chapter 12, we see what was instructed in the Old Testament for the children of God to remember as he had delivered them and would deliver them out of bondage, out of Egypt. And as he had performed the very last task to deliver them out of the Egyptian bondage, we find here in Exodus in chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt, the judgment of God. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." The Passover was a memorial for the children of God to remember what God did for them in bringing them out of Egyptian bondage. "This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Jesus would have celebrated this Passover every year of his life, some 33 years, while he walked on the face of the earth, as he was alive as a man, as he was God manifested in the flesh. He would observe all the Old Testament laws because they were still under the Old Testament law. But he also realized as the Messiah that he was going to fulfill the Old Testament law and the prophets in every area, and then he would establish the New Testament, New Testament Christianity. The Jewish belief was that the Messiah was going to come and redeem Israel. And so this blood would represent the coming of the Messiah. The Passover was a memorial. If you look back in verse 18 of our text here, the Bible says, "And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand." Up until this, he had observed the Passover. I believe he had observed the Passover with his disciples during the first 2 years of his public ministry. But this being the last of his public ministry, one of the last lessons that he would teach was that of this ordinance. Jesus, again, fulfilling the Passover with a New Testament ordinance, and he would become that sacrificial lamb. That during the Passover, they would consume. During the Passover, they would take the blood and put it over the doorpost of the house that they would be in. And God would pass over. He would honor the blood. And he would not judge, and they would be delivered. The Passover, that memorial. Over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, I want you to write these verses down. If I go too fast for you, I want you to go back and study these verses. This is very important that we understand why we have communion. In Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. This is Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, the only begotten Son of God. I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Take away the Old Testament, that he might establish a New Testament. He's taken away the Old Testament Passover, that he might establish a New Testament ordinance of the Lord's Supper, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Old Testament, those sin offerings, the blood offerings, could never take away sin. But they were preparing humanity for the ultimate sin sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ that would wash away the sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, there's no more offering sacrifices for sins. That day has come and gone. Jesus is the last of the sacrifices. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to his coming and the importance of his blood sacrifice. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. He resurrected after offering his sinless blood. He resurrected after defeating death and hell. He resurrected to ever live, to make intercession for all that would come under the blood and be redeemed to God the Father. Wow. If you go back with me to our text here and what he's teaching here, again, verse 17 to 19, he was referring to the Old Testament Passover, and that's what the disciples had been used to having with him. At this time, it would be different, because this time, his time was at hand. He knew that it was time for him to become that sacrificial lamb. He knew it was his time to go to the cross of Calvary and pay that sacrifice, that sin debt that humanity owed and could not pay. In verse 20, down to verse 25, the Passover and the Lord's Supper would be a time used to confess sin. Now, this is important in what has taken place. In Exodus, he was going to have them take the blood and put over the doorpost. In chapter 12, I want you to see something here, verses 5 through 7. As he told them about the lamb that they were to choose for this Passover meal. And the Bible says, your lamb shall be without blemish, signifying that it would only be sinless blood that could cleanse humanity of their sins. It was a lamb without blemish, no sin. A male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly and the congregation of Israel at the same time shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat. He had orders for them, instructions for them, and how they were to take the blood and have a sacrificial lamb. Well, now as we go back, here we find that in verse 20, the Bible says, now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he knew that one of the 12 would betray him. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? I love that. Because as we remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to make sure that there's nothing, before we partake of the communion, we want to make sure that there's nothing between me and the Savior. I want to make sure that when I partake of the communion and I take of the bread that will be passed out that is symbolic of the body of Christ, when Jesus presented this bread, it was symbolic of his body that it was getting ready to be nailed on the cross of Calvary. He would sacrifice his body for us. And as you partake of that body, as you partake of that bread, it was symbolic of his body being sacrificed for you, for me. And we would take, when they would take of the juice, the fruit of the vine, that would symbolically be associated with the blood of Jesus Christ that he would shed on the cross for me. And I am to remember that, and I am to take this opportunity to draw as close to the Lord as possible. And I need to ask, Lord, is there any sin in my life? There's a warning given, we'll be reading that in just a little bit. If you take of the Lord's Supper unworthily, if you take of the Lord's Supper knowing that you have sin present in your life, you take of the Lord's Supper and you know that you're not doing what God would have you to do, there is judgment associated with that. But for those who want a closer walk with God, what a blessing it is to partake of the communion and remember the sacrifice that Jesus, God, has made for us. And I want to draw close to him. That's why we take the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, as often as you do this, the reason for it is to remember. Doesn't tell us how often to take it. As an independent fundamental Baptist church, we take the Lord's Supper around three to four times a year. I can call for the Lord's Supper at any time, and I feel like that we just need to get closer to the Lord. There's things going on in the church. There's things going on in our lives, and we just need a closer walk with God. I call for that any time. He gives us that privilege to do that. It's a church ordinance. It's establishing a closer walk with him. When you remember the love that he showed for us, the sacrifice he was willing to make for us, when that becomes personal to you, it'll draw you closer to him. Yeah. He would have to purge the house in revealing Judas Iscariot. Before he would institute the Lord's Supper, he would purge the house. He would reveal the sin. And as they did eat, and this was what they were doing at honoring the Lord's Supper, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He hasn't instituted the Lord's Supper yet. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. It was written that he would become the sacrificial lamb. It was prophesied that he would go to the cross of Calvary and he would resurrect on the third day. It was prophesied for him. But he said, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said it. That's you. You know it's you. The Bible says, if you look at John's account in John chapter 13, that at that particular time, and the Judas left. It left the 11 who believed him to be the Messiah. Everyone, before you partake of the Lord's Supper, is to examine your own self. And Paul's writing after he had been revealed by God himself to Paul to write to the church at Corinth for this New Testament church age. He says in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, verse 27, verse 29, he says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord unworthily." What would be unworthily? First of all, if you're not saved, if you've never confessed your sin before God and had the blood to cover that sin, if you willingly are not willing to publicly identify with Jesus Christ and believer's baptism, the other ordinance that God has given to his church, if there's sin that you're trying to hide and cover up, that would be unworthily. Shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and then so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Isn't that good? See, because you're not going to blame somebody else. It will draw the church closer together as a church, because every member of the church is going to be drawn closer to the Lord. And when every member is drawn closer to the Lord, just think of what that does for the church body, which is made up of each member, individual members. And when the whole church is functioning as a desire to live for God and to be all that God would have us to be and want that closer walk with Him, just think about what kind of services the church will have. I don't know about you, but I was blessed this morning just to sense the presence of God in this place and to see the response to the music and the response to the preaching. Can I tell you that that was partially because of prayer and fasting? I had great liberty this morning, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt the liberty that I had this morning was based upon answer to prayer of people, this congregation, praying and fasting for our services. What a blessing. What a blessing to an individual to have a closer walk with Christ. And what a blessing to the church as we collectively have a closer walk with Christ. Yeah. Communion. Communion. Is there anything in my life that would hinder my walk with Christ? I'm going to ask you to ask yourself that question. Before you take communion, ask yourself that question. And be willing to confess and forsake anything that the Spirit of God would reveal to you. Whatever that might be. After he revealed Judas, and Judas left, then Jesus would give this to be a permanent ordinance for the New Testament church. Fulfilled the Old Testament. And now has given to us a New Testament. And he says in this, if you look back to our text this evening, in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. This is my body." You can just imagine Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. This is what you're remembering. He did that for you. He did that for me. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin." And when you partake of that juice, the fruit of the vine, you're thinking about the blood precious blood, the sinless blood, the holy blood of the only begotten Son of God, shedding it for me. And then he would say, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Over the book of John in chapter 50, I'm not going to be much longer. We're just about there, but I want you to see this. In John in chapter 6 and verse 50, many did not understand this when he presented it to them, but now as we look back, and we can very clearly understand what he says, what he's talking about. In John chapter 6 and verse 50, he says this, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Understanding the symbolic, understanding that his body and his blood was symbolic of this bread and this juice. Then said Jesus, "Then verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, if you would just read that, you would think, well, that's crazy, as they would then. But once you understand what he came to give, what you understand what he came to sacrifice, he sacrificed his body, he sacrificed his blood. And as we remember this in this ordinance, it draws us closer to him. Yeah, it ought to do something for you. When you realize he loved me enough to die for me. He died so that I might live. I should have been the one hanging on that cross. I should have been the one suffering that persecution. I should be the one dying and going to a devil's hell. But Jesus did it for me, that I might not have to, but that I might have everlasting, eternal life. Go back with me, and we're going to close with 1 Corinthians in chapter 11 this evening. Because this helps us as a church to understand all about it. Not only do we find that Jesus himself instituting the Lord's communion, but also he gave Paul to write in his word for the churches. Verse 23, Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." That's what it's all about, in remembrance. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Jesus established an ordinance for his church to remember the sacrifices, a time to look to God and appreciate the love of Christ, a time to examine my own heart and my mind, and a time to partake of that communion and remembering his body and his blood. It's a time that we're going to have tonight. Are you ready? Is there anything in your heart and in your life that would hinder you from a closer walk with God? Like it ever head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to have an invitation to give you an opportunity to come to this altar or to bow before God in your pew, confess and forsake any sin that you might have in your life. So that when you partake of this communion, it'll be something that will draw you closer to the Savior. Father, we bow before you now. We do love you and thank you, Lord God, for the truth of this that you have established for us as a church throughout this entire New Testament church age, that of the Lord's Supper. I pray tonight, God, that you'd help each one here to understand what has been taught and what has been preached, that it comes from your word. And God, if there's someone here that has never put their faith and trust in you, I pray that tonight would be a night in which they get saved. And I pray tonight, God, if there's someone here that's not living for you, I pray that tonight they would desire a closer walk with you more so than whatever sin and the enjoyment of sin that they might be experiencing. I pray that you draw us closer to you this evening. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.